Good morning and welcome to Brass Tacks Sunday. It's March 28th. My name is Joanne Haig, and the producer this morning is Mr. Dennis Johnson. Now, we have an extra special show today, sponsored by the Barbados Council for the Disabled. As we know that we are in the month highlighting persons with disabilities, and the theme this month is Building Back Better for a More Inclusive and Resilient Barbados. However, we want to focus this morning a little bit on special education in the current COVID environment. And today, our guests from the school, the Derek Smith School, Dr. Cheryl Rock, a very good friend of mine. She's the principal of the Derek Smith School and Vocational Center. We also have a parent on the panel, Jillian Cadogan. Jillian is a mother of a child with a disability, and she's also a special needs teacher. And for those of you who are currently online, you can find us on Facebook. We are actually on live, and we have an interpreter for the deaf and hard of hearing, Mr. Tony Husbands. And let me just make sure that we're clear on the term hard of hearing. Those persons who are not able to hear very well, they are referred to as hard of hearing. So we have Mr. Tony Husbands interpreting for persons who are deaf or hard of hearing. Later on in the show, we will be joined by a representative from the Ministry of Education. Juanita Brathwaite Wharton will join us. She's a senior psychologist at the Ministry of Education. So we're really looking forward to hearing from the Ministry of Education, because we are going to focus a lot on special needs during this COVID environment. What has it been like for the children? What has it been like for the parents? What has it been like for the teachers? The online teaching, how do persons with special needs adjust? What about those, again, who are deaf and hard of hearing? Are there interpreters online while we're teaching our children? Or should I say, I know the teachers already know how to sign, but how difficult is it for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing? In addition, we want to also look at the psychological impact of having to manage your child with a disability, having to work, and how do you function? And I'm pretty much sure that most of you know that I am a parent of a little girl with special needs, Skye. She has Down syndrome. And personally speaking, yes, it is a big challenge to manage all of that. So, and I can only imagine, or should I say, I have a better idea as to what happens behind the scenes. But today, we want to hear from every one of you, all of you. You're not just parents, people who are interested, people who have questions. How are you coping? Do you have any little tips, any solutions that we can go by? So this morning, I want to welcome the panel. Welcome to you all. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that was a little loud, so I'm going to move my earphones. Well, welcome. I want to start this morning with Jillian. Jillian Cadogan, tell us a little bit about yourself. We have here that you're a parent, but you're also a teacher. Talk to us about being a parent first, and we'll move into how you handle both.
Okay. Yes, I am a parent. My son is 20 years old, and he is ASD. He's on the autism spectrum. He's a pretty nice young man. He is trying to cope in this COVID environment, because he is presently enrolled in the adult training facility at the Challenger School. So he is doing a technical subject, that's woodwork. And as you would know, in that area, online school is quite a challenge. Aside from that, I am senior teacher in charge of the Eagle Hall Special Unit. So we have 4 staff members there, and we cater to 32 students of varying disabilities at our unit.
32.
So, yes.
Are you the caregiver for your son, as in day to day, or do you have help? How do you manage?
Yes, teaching? I am. I am his primary caregiver. My parents also assist, as well as his younger sister, who's 14 years old.
Okay, so give me an idea. What is the day like for you in this environment? You know, you have to put everything in place for online teaching. You have to then deal with your son. And what is it like for you? Give us a day in Jillian's life with online teaching.
A day in my life. We get up pretty early in mornings. I make sure that coffee is ready for any online teaching that he has to do. Christiane is in her room with her. She's fairly independent, obviously, with the Google Classroom, but Kofi has to have some help with the signing in and whatnot. And I also teach online as well. So it is a bit of a balancing act with everything. Some days, you know, he may miss out if I can't assist, but I am always in contact, virtually every day contact with his teacher at the channel, who is very flexible and always trying to find a way to make sure learning takes place no matter what. So it is a challenge. It is a struggle, but you know, we are getting through. Going back to the face-to-face environment would be ideal, of course, but you know, we have to also think of the risk and our affairs, and you know, we do feel safer online. We know that it is not the most ideal format for students with special needs, but we are trying. That's all I can say. We are trying.
Do you find it's more difficult for children with special needs to grasp what you're trying to teach online versus the face-to-face? Because there are some people who actually enjoy the online experience and they find that they take in more. What is that like in terms of the children? You find that, do they grasp? Are you missing out a lot of what you want to get across to your children?
It is true. It works for some. It doesn't work for others. So, you know, it has its advantages and its limitations. If we have students who understand why we have to be online and they have levels of understanding that they can manipulate the technology, parents are available to assist, and these parents also understand the tech and the home environment can accommodate, well, then yes, that can work for those students. But then we have students whose developmental functioning does not allow for that understanding. They struggle with attention, probably their speech and language, they struggle with their intellectual functioning and like self-regulation. So they will have challenges with the online platform. So as teachers, we would have had to work out a different way for these students to continue learning, and we would have worked with parents to try to work out the best solution for their particular case and their child.
So I was thinking, as a parent myself and being schooled by Dr. Rock as to how I should do things with my daughter, normally it's more structure, and when you take them out of the structure, then you kind of off balance things. So where my fear was that my daughter might not get it with the whole COVID environment type of thing, I found that with our children, repetition is the mother of all skill. And if you keep doing something constantly,
very much so.
How is that like? So in terms of the benefits for the quote unquote norm children who are doing online versus the special needs, don't you get a sense that maybe our children kind of grasp the do's?
Yes, definitely. Well, many of our children are visual learners, and the online platform has allowed us to visualize information. You know, you have the sound, you have the movement, and as long as you can do that consistently, then quite a lot of learning would have taken place for those students. Like, for example, we did something every day called Train Your Brain, where we had a collection of videos teaching the students general concepts that we would have wanted them to learn, like their colors and their numbers and days of the week and months of the year, quite a few things, you know, and we put those together, and more or less we look at those first thing every morning before class. And with that consistency, by the end of the term when we did our assessment, we found that quite a few children would have picked up and learned quite a lot of these concepts. But you know, we always have those students who, you know, who prefer the face-to-face, and many of them would have, you know, it would have taken some time for them to really get used to seeing their teacher over the screen rather than face-to-face. Some of them adjusted pretty well, pretty quickly. Some did not adjust as quickly. But I think that we reached probably about 75% of our students. Mm-hmm. They were able to learn some of the online social skills, you know, like muting your mic and raising your hands and stuff like that. I know that they would have missed each other. So, you know, we allowed them to talk to each other and to see each other. And day by day, we explained that this is how we had to do it because COVID-19 is out there and we want you to be safe. So as long as they understood, they were more receptive.
Okay.
You know, well, and the structure as well, because our lessons are quite structured. So the routine was good for them. It was more predictable. Mm-hmm. So they got used to it.
And it got easier, a little bit easier. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on to education when the representative comes on about midday. So let's get down to talking now to my good friend, Dr. Cheryl Rock. Dr. Rock, how are you?
Good morning. I am fine. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm doing okay. So what has it been like for the Derrick Smith School and Vocational Center from, let's go back last year when it first started. How was it in terms of adjusting, and what program do you use? Because I know you guys are not on Google Classroom, so let us know about what you had to put in place and what that has been like for your teachers first, and then move on to the students.
Okay, if we go back when the first lockdown began, because we were using Zoom already as a platform, it was something that I was accustomed to. We decided that we were going to stick with that platform. And the reason we didn't switch over to Google Classroom is a little bit like what you were saying about routine. And because we'd started with that with the students, we thought, well, let us just continue with that platform. And the first lockdown, or the first batch of remote teaching, on the whole, it wasn't that bad because we felt quite excited about using the platform and using technology a little bit more. And I find that my staff are quite young in thought and in action, and a lot of them grasp the platform very, very quickly. My job was mainly myself and my vice principal. We spent every day popping into the classrooms and seeing what was happening, more so we can get a feel of what is needed. I think as an exercise, a little bit like what Gillian was saying, we learned so much about the students. And one thing I will say is the remote platform, if it works for a student, it works beautifully. The challenge is it doesn't work well for every student. And as Gillian was saying, when you have a platform where you can intimately look at every aspect of the teaching, the actual activities, and how the students are responding to it, you can quickly adapt programs to suit the needs of the student. The unfortunate thing is you realize that there are a lot of different needs, and there are only so many teaching hours in a day or in a week, and we really had to think about the type of subjects that were needed in order for the students to get the best online experience. The way we tackled that is, as I said, we used a lot of technology, but we also shifted a lot of the type of classroom activities as such we were doing. So we concentrated on visual spatial work and how to navigate a computer and a lot of discussions. We support the older students. Our age range is from age 11 and upward. And I would say about 20% of our student population have significant to profound challenges. And it was that population who, in my opinion, had the most difficult time online. Because if you can imagine, as you're saying, we were trying to support children with severe challenges online with parents who are also working, who have other children who are at school. And when our students require more support, when our students require maybe someone there to help them log in or to help support them with the actual activities, it is a great resource drain on the families. So we did have to think carefully about how to support the student who required more support at home. And that was achieved by, you know, many of my staff members changed their hours or would include a couple of hours in the evening where maybe there was more assistance at home or at the weekend. So, you know, we do what we can to adapt and support the students. In terms of the other challenges, though, that we didn't expect were a little bit like what Gillian was saying, youngsters, for example, with communication challenges, we found that the platform didn't always support their speed of communication. Or, for example, sometimes on Zoom, you can have the speaker's view ups, and which is very, very, very good if you want a student to really pay attention to the face and what, you know, the facial expressions and what the person is saying. But the problem with the speaker view is if someone else's mic is on and they make a noise, the face changes. And the staff were explaining that for some students, that was very, very confusing. So if you could imagine, you are responding to a particular tone or particular emotion or discussion with one person, and then the view suddenly shifts to another person, it's difficult to map what you're hearing with maybe a different facial expression. So we really try to think around issues surrounding the types of individual challenges that students have. And I'm going to keep saying maybe something pretty good that was happening with some of the challenges that we were having. We are a vocational center. So obviously being a vocational center, it's very, very difficult to teach agriculture and culinary, and I can see you nodding, Joanne, and culinary and art and craft and woodwork online. And I do have to commend my staff because they came up with programs and activities that, in my opinion, just showed the creativity that is out there. For example, for woodwork, we didn't have access to the workshop, so the team supported the students in making homemade stains for wood, and they didn't make just one or two, but some students made as many as four different stains that you can apply using vegetables and plants and things around the house, which I think has merit in a country where people are trying to find ways to have own businesses. You know, that right there is from remote learning and from this very, very difficult situation, I do think that business opportunities can open up for quite a few of our students. Another positive example is we have recently joined with TVET to offer certificates to some of our adult students, and this online platform has meant that they've had to do quite a lot of recordings of them working and cooking, you know, being in their kitchen or being in the garden and or creating pieces of art. And these are pieces that out of this remote learning environment is going to then contribute to their body of work for TVET. So on one aspect, we had quite a lot of positive outcomes from the remote learning, but the biggest challenge that we have faced is on the social and emotional side. And what we have found is all of the students, not the 20% who have significant challenges or the 80% who are coping or excelling in this remote environment, but all of the students, 100% of the students, have suffered in terms of their social and emotional development. It's very, very difficult to have any child in a way as such isolated for such a long length of time. It's unhealthy. Students have missed connecting with other students. They've missed their friends, they've missed their teachers, they've missed that routine of getting up in the morning and going to school and being challenged in ways that they're not necessarily challenged at home. Children in mainstream are experiencing it, but a lot of times they have a vehicle. They can maybe connect with their friends by way of WhatsApp, or they can talk to their parents, or they can start to express their feelings a lot more. Maybe they can do a lot of independent research to find out exactly what's happening in the world and what does the second wave mean and how long is the lockdown maybe going to last. But for our population, a lot of those avenues are lost to them. For our population, it just feels like more of the same. And when it's more of the same and they don't have an outlet and they don't have maybe the words to express how they're feeling or to ask the correct questions, a lot of times it starts to show in other ways. And it starts to show in maybe negative behaviors or negative responses. And when you're at home with a child or a young adult or an adult who has emotional challenges or who maybe have some behavioral issues, and you are a parent who are still trying to get through your day, be it because you have been laid off, maybe, as I said, you're working from home, you have other children that you need to support. When you are faced with that challenge as well, and your support system has been taken away, not by choice and not because we understand the pandemic and we understand why we've been in the situation we're in, but it makes life a lot harder. I'm pleased that we are returning to school. I do believe that it's what is needed for the students. I believe it's what's needed for the parents. I believe it's what's needed for the teachers. The important piece now is to make sure that the return is as safe as we can possibly make it.
I was about to say that before we go on, to just remind the public that you can call in the number to call 434-1790 to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. I can't see the WhatsApp right now because I'm looking at Zoom, but I guess Dennis will sort that out for me as a good producer. But back to what you were saying, returning to school, and I think a lot of parents would love for that to happen sooner rather than later. But with our children, the special needs, it's not only just a mental challenge or a physical challenge. We may have some other underlying issues, some health issues that I certainly it was a big concern for me. It still is, where you have a child and maybe asthmatic, or in my case with my daughter, you know, heart defect. It was fixed, but it's still there, you know, so to speak. What kind of feedback are you getting from parents who are experiencing that kind of fear, saying, look, I want this child back at school, but I'm still so worried about his or her medical challenges?